From the studios of WOL in the nation's capital, the Coast to Coast Mutual Network presents Fulton Lewis, Jr.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As fast and dramatic news from Europe tonight, tense news that makes your spine tingle and your heart stop cold. That reassurance we enjoyed last night following Chancellor Hitler's speech at Nuremberg is gone today. It's gone as completely as if his words had never been spoken. Yesterday, you remember, Mr. Hitler said he wants peace. He wants to settle Germany's difficulty with Czechoslovakia in a friendly way. He merely demands that the several million Germans who are living in the Sudeten territory, on the western edge of Czechoslovakia, be protected and guaranteed their full rights. This morning, the cable wires were smoking with flash news. The president of Czechoslovakia declared martial law in that Sudeten territory. Military police took over the cities. According to the cable dispatches, there were tanks in the streets, and the law of the army went into effect. When that news reached Berlin, it was like the sputtering fire reaching the end of a fuse. There was an explosion. Chancellor Hitler flashed back an ultimatum to Czechoslovakia. It said that Germany will not stand for this martial law in the Sudeten territory. It demanded that Czechoslovakia revoke that order and revoke it within 6 hours. And the implication was that if the ultimatum is ignored, Germany is ready to act. And all that has very ugly similarity to the days of 1914, when Austria was sending ultimatums to Little Serbia. And it's not necessary for me to say that the world is upside down tonight. The cable dispatches from Europe say that American tourists are scurrying for the nearest seaport and catching the first ships they can for home. Every cabinet in Europe is in emergency session behind locked doors tonight. Here in Washington, the State Department has been in turmoil. Secretary Hull naturally has declined to make any official comment, but I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that there's grave worry in his eyes. He's ready to spend the entire evening and the entire night at his desk. The whole building is ablaze with lights, and those lights, most of them, will be blazing still in the wee small hours tomorrow morning. Out in Rochester, Minnesota, where the president is waiting to see his oldest son, James Roosevelt, safely out of the woods after this stomach operation, Mr. Roosevelt was in almost continuous telephone communication with the State Department. As fast as the confidential dispatches would flash in from the American embassies and legations in Europe, they'd be decoded here at the State Department and relayed quickly to the president. And so the world seems to teeter on the brink. Tomorrow seems to depend on a mere touch one way or the other. Now, as to little Czechoslovakia, her cabinet is meeting also tonight. The deadline for this ultimatum is just a few minutes off now. And here in Washington, the Czechoslovakian legation is awaiting very eagerly the latest word from the government at home. A little while ago, I thought of stopping by there to find out what the acting minister, the charge d'affaires, Dr. Brejka, has to say. I thought it might be interesting to get a few quotes from him to pass along to you. But as it happens, we've worked out a much better arrangement. Instead of merely telling you what he says, I've asked him to come here to the studios. I've asked him to let me ask a few questions, my own questions, right here at the microphone, so that you can listen in and hear his answers for yourself, firsthand. Now, Dr. Brejka, this whole crisis today hinges, of course, on this order that was issued by your government this morning, this order declaring martial law in the Sudeten territory. That's the reason for this present crisis, of course. Why was martial law declared this morning?
The Czechoslovak government was, of course, always determined to maintain order within the Republic, but recent incidents were of such a nature that normal means of preserving order in some of the Sudeten German districts were not sufficient. In order to prevent possible clashes in the various districts, the government decided to impose martial law.
I see. Your position is that Mr. Hitler even yesterday demanded that the Sudeten Germans be protected. He said, Germany said that there was disorder and that these Sudeten Germans were being persecuted. And you say that this was a move by your government to guarantee order just as he requested. Now, is there anything of value to Germany in this Sudeten territory? Are there any gun factories, any mines? What sort of territory is it?
Yes. The so-called Sudeten German section of Bohemia, which never belonged to Germany, but was always a part of the lands of the Bohemian crown, is very rich in natural resources, namely coal, kaolin, and ores. In the western part of Bohemia, we have the world-famous spas, Karlovy Vary or Karlsbad, Marianske Lázně or Marienbad, and so forth. Because of the natural resources, these districts are highly developed industrially.
Then this Sudeten territory is of value. Very well. Apparently, Germany wants this territory, Dr. Brejka. It looks as though Mr. Hitler considers this in very much the same status as he considered Austria. Suppose we finally reach the situation where Czechoslovakia has to give up the Sudeten territory. to Germany or actually fight to defend it. What then? Will Czechoslovakia fight or give it up peacefully?
Never. The Czechoslovak Republic would not voluntarily sacrifice any part of its territory.
Do you think, Dr. Breisler, that your country is strong enough to defend this territory? Have you a strong army? Do you have the men, the guns, the materials?
Yes. Czechoslovakia is prepared to defend her territory. The army is equipped with modern arms, and the firm determination of the people to defend their country compensates for what may be lacking in numerical strength. The soldiers know that they would be defending a just cause.
Thank you very, very much indeed, Dr. Breisler, for giving us all this little interview. It was very kind of you to come, and we certainly thank you very much.